A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on August 27, 1989, in the series Human Transformation, the Gospel and AA, entitled The Practice of the Presence of God, Serenity. The scripture readings are all from Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, chapter 22, verses 39 through 42, and chapter 23, verses 32 through 34 and 44 through 47. The texts are from Luke 11, verse 1, chapter 22, verse 42, and chapter 23, verses 34 and 46. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Well, I could almost apologize for this message before I begin because I have no novel insight, no scintillating new truth. All I'm going to share with you this morning is that which you know as well as I do. It is simply the fact that serenity is the consequence of practicing the presence of God. That the daily practice of the presence of God is the secret of a life that has a quiet center, a life that knows a measure of serenity even in the midst of the rough and tumble of life. We come this morning to step 11 in the step 12 program of AA. I have skipped a couple of steps, but then nobody's perfect. Not because they're not important steps, but because summer's only so long. And we simply have to talk about step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. Very simple. One of the wonderful insights of the AA program is that it doesn't lay any big deal on anybody. It just says, live one day at a time. Don't worry about the rest of your life. Just live today. Make it today. And the way to make it today is to be sure, through prayer and meditation, to come consciously and intentionally into the presence of God. Take a good look at your life in the mirror before the face of God. And to practice the presence of God is the secret of serenity. The insight of the AA program, the 12 steps, is that the life, having acknowledged unmanageability, having come finally to believe in the possibility of a higher power, turning one's will over, going through the self-examination and the owning of one's story in the presence of God, oneself, and another, doing what is necessary to restore, to give restitution, reconciliation. That person then must go on for the rest of their life, but only one day at a time, continuing to work at this business of human transformation. And human transformation, moving from where we are toward that for which we have been predestined, that is, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is a day-by-day process. It's no secret. No deep mystery. It is simply, day by day, coming into the presence of God, reflecting on the face of Jesus, and finding our lives more and more, little by little, gradually, being transformed into the image of Jesus. Whenever I come to this subject, I'm always drawn back to Jesus Himself. That masterful model. That marvelous example of prayer. As I said, Luke's gospel is really the gospel of the prayer life of Jesus, and it's quite a remarkable experience simply to read through the gospel and take a magic marker and mark all of those places where Jesus prays. Already in the third chapter at his baptism, he was praying and the heavens opened and the Spirit fell on him. In the fourth chapter, the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit and inaugurated his ministry at Nazareth. And later in the fourth chapter, when day broke, he went out and made his way to a lonely spot to get away from the crowds that were pressing upon him. And later on in the fifth chapter, he withdrew to lonely places for prayer. And then in the sixth chapter, during this time, he went out one day into the hills to pray and spent the night in prayer to God and came back and appointed his disciples. Maybe that's why I always get such a poor consistory. I'll scratch that. And as you go through chapter 9, chapter 11, one day he was praying in the presence of his disciples and he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Bringing it right to a head, but only after time alone. In the chapter we read, chapter 11, he was at prayer. And there must have been such an aura about Jesus at prayer that one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." But you catch the wistfulness in that request. And then, of course, as we read toward the climax, seeing the inevitability of his death if he remained true to his vision, true to the person that God had called him to be as he understood it, he went into the garden and he said, "Father, I don't want to die. Father, I don't want to go through tomorrow. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Quite remarkable, really. I think I might have been able to find a compromise that would have satisfied Caiaphas and Pilate and kept some of my popularity. And on the cross, with the injustice, the ignominy, the shame, the mockery, the insensitivity, the misrepresentation, hanging suspended between heaven and earth, between two criminals, able to look at them and say, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Going through the excruciating experience of crucifixion, only finally at death, still trusting, "Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit." It's really something. Jesus is a model of prayer and a living parable of the fact that serenity in the midst of adversity, in the midst of the storm, that quiet center, is the consequence of the practice of the presence of God. You don't die in trust unless you've lived in trust. You don't die forgiving unless you've lived forgiving. You don't die whole unless you've lived holily day by day in the presence of God. That, of course, is what is recognized in the 11th step. It is by prayer and meditation that we cultivate our conscious contact with God, asking only a knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. Just that simply. The AA recognizes that prayer is not an instrument through which God is manipulated for our purposes. Prayer is not the desperate cry of a sinking person. Someone has said only desperate people pray, and there's an element of truth in it. And I think God is merciful enough to hear those prayers as well. But if you really want to know what prayer is all about, then look to Jesus and see this serenity that was the consequence in a life full of action of the practice of the presence of God alone. Now, there are all kinds of ways to do it. AA has their little Bibles, their devotional booklets. The Christian church has kept the printing presses going with daily devotionals, meditations for moms, quiet thoughts for dads, little lumps of truth for kids. There are charts to take you through the Bible in a year. There are schemes by which you can follow the lessons of the Christian year. There are 1,001 ways to do it, and it doesn't really matter what you use. The fact is, all we need is to be consciously, intentionally, before the face of God, sometime in every 24-hour period. It's a matter of survival. It's the secret of serenity. It's very simple. The AA meeting begins with a serenity prayer. That simple prayer that you know requests for the serenity to accept the things that cannot be changed, and the courage to change the things that can, and the wisdom to know the difference. How much of our life are we not expending energy, bloodying our heads, batting them against brick walls, railing against the things that cannot be changed? Why don't we let go of the things that cannot be changed? There's so much of life that is gift. And all of us are living within a certain set of parameters, a certain set of circumstances and situations in which we simply have to let go. The serenity of letting go before the things we cannot change. And the courage to change the things we can, the things that come to light, as we're consciously in the presence of God. Because the business of human transformation is a lifetime process, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And as we behold Him, we are changed into His likeness by degree. Change the things that can be changed. We are responsible and we are free within certain limits. And the wisdom to discern the difference. The AA meeting closes, joining hands and reciting the Lord's Prayer. They said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And He said, well, it's just simply this. Say, Father, may Your name be hallowed and Your will be done and Your kingdom come. Give me bread for today, forgiveness as I forgive, and keep me in the test. quite simple, really. And it's possible to recite that in the midst of a service like this, or around the table of the family. It's possible to mumble the words, mouth the words, and find nothing. But on the other hand, to think it through, it really says it all. Quite enough. Knowledge of your will and the power to carry it out. That's all I need. The suggestion in 12 steps and 12 traditions for the person who says, me, meditate, is to take the prayer of St. Francis, that beautiful and familiar prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Do we know that? Sure we know that. Do we believe that? Of course we believe that. Do we live that way? No, we don't live that way. Do we have serenity? Not when we don't live that way. Just think, for example, what the day might be if it began along with brushing the teeth, powdering the nose, shaving. Reading the paragraph from Romans 12, the scripture of last week, and taking 2 minutes just to pray the prayer of Francis. Now, really, could you go out of the house and be a rascal after that? I mean, what if we really, really did confront ourselves every day with a prayer like that? Could you go out and be, well, what I was going to say, I probably shouldn't say on this stool. Could you be that kind of a person after just 2 or 3 minutes with that? Of course you could. I wonder if it's not that we are lazy that we don't do it, but that we know that we can't do it and stay the same. You can't be consciously before the face of God and ask to understand rather than be understood, to pardon rather than to be pardoned, to love rather than to be loved. You can't do that honestly and then go out and be the same old rascal you always were. Well, kind of costly business, isn't it? But it's also the way to serenity. You know, I can't think of a time in my life that I was ever to summon some of the grace of Jesus, who was faithful to his vision, his knowledge of the will of God, in spite of the ominous morrow, who was crucified, misunderstood and misrepresented, mocked and scorned, and prayed for his enemies, who died in the darkness trusting. I can't remember a time that even a little bit of that grace came into my life and I was able to turn the other cheek. I was able to forgive. I can't think of a time when my ego was punctured. And instead of retaliating, instead of getting defensive, instead of explaining myself and rationalizing my behavior, I can't think of a time that I ever, by the grace of God, just let it be. that I regret. But I can think of numerous instances in which that grace failed me. And I retaliated. Or I spoke back. Or I struck back. Or I moved to move the situation according to what I honestly thought it ought to be. I can think of many instances in which I did that, which I do regret. It's really very simple. I warned you there'd be nothing new. But in a few moments, we'll baptize children and ask parents if they will pray for their children and teach them to pray. That's in the baptismal liturgy, I suppose, because there's a kind of an understanding and an insight that it is really a whole manner, posture of life that is being spoken of. A life of prayer, the practice of the presence of God, doesn't need a lot of formal pointing out. Children would imbibe grace from a praying parent. And it's really just that simple. Practice of the presence of God. Convinced of the graciousness of God and the affirming nature of reality. What I've enjoyed about AA is that they never lay a trip on anybody. And we're talking about the presence of God this morning, and I want to say to you, God loves you. God cares about you. God is able to meet you at the point of your need. God will love you and never forsake you, whether you ever seek God's face. But you may, if you're thirsty, drink. If you're hungry, eat. If you're looking for serenity, pray. Simply. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Just